Good morning. I would like to call to order the meeting of the Senate Education Committee. In attendance today are Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, Senator Huggins. Senator Olson is not here. Senator Meyer should be along directly. Anyhow, he indicated he would be a few minutes late. This is the meeting of the Senate Education Committee for the second session of the 26th Alaska Legislature. Good morning and welcome to everyone that's here. The purpose of the meeting today is hear Senate Bill 56, an act making a special appropriation for a life sciences innovation and learning facility at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and providing for an effective date, as well as Senate Bill 206, an act making special appropriations for new engineering buildings for the University of Alaska in Anchorage and Fairbanks. We are a little bit cramped for time, so we'll be closing the meeting at just shortly before 9 o'clock, and therefore we want to get started quickly and move through this as quickly as we can. And with that, I would call to the podium, or whatever we might call it, my staff member, Murray Richmond, to present the sponsor statement for Senate Bill 56.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Murray Richmond, and I am the co-committee aide for the Education Committee, and very pleased to be here to present this bill. This is an appropriations bill for a new life science building to go to the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. However, it will affect the whole state of Alaska. It's going UAF because UAF is the PhD granting association in the state and is well known in its area of sciences, especially Arctic sciences. This building will do many things in terms of affecting all of Alaskans. We know that in a world where technology changes as fast as it does, we have to keep ahead of the curve. And if we're going to be behind the curve, we're going to be behind the rest of the world on many things. And in order to stay abreast, we have to have the best resources, best scholars, best facilities, best research facilities, and put out some of the best students. And this building is designed to help us to be able to do that. It will affect, it's a research facility, which means that every dollar that's put into it will generate $5.80 of federal monies that will be coming in, so it'll be a boon to our economy. The building of the building will affect not just the Fairbanks area, but the impact in the Matsu Anchorage area is estimated to be, according to the McDowell organization, around $20 million from port activities and construction activities coming in from there. What will happen in the building, and there are people here who can speak more to that, is research that is really going to affect a lot of Alaska. There'll be research on infectious diseases that is a particular problem as we get more and more goods coming in from the outside, and we'll be there'll be a center looking especially at the bird flu. And when epidemics hit up here, because we're an enclosed area, it's important that we be able to deal with them really quickly. There'll be a center studying obesity and diabetes in the Bush, Alaska, which is a major problem, more so than the rest of the nation. And also a wing that will be looking at sudden infant death syndrome, which is also of epidemic rates in Alaska. And so we present this bill to the committee at this point.
Thank you for that. And I'd like to recognize Senator Olson here this morning.
Mr. Chairman, good morning.
Good morning. That's good. First to testify this morning, or to make a presentation, is Chancellor Brian Rogers from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Will you please come forward and put yourself on the record and begin your presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Brian Rogers, Chancellor, University of Alaska Fairbanks. In support of this legislation, the Life Sciences Building has been for several years the top priority of the Board of Regents in the Board's capital budget. At UAF, the biology and wildlife programs, the largest single degree programs at UAF, the facilities that we're currently using are spread out across the campus. We have labs that some of which don't look much different from when I arrived in 1970. Modern biomedical science requires much more significant laboratory opportunities for graduates and undergraduates to participate in research activities. This is a building that originally came to the legislature in a board priority known as the BIOS building. We were unsuccessful in gaining legislative support for that, and so last year redesigned the facility to downscale it somewhat, reduce the number of labs, and really focus on our absolute top priority areas, The building would be located on the UAF campus West Ridge, right across from the state virology lab. In fact, there's a tunnel under the road to that will allow the two to connect, to allow cooperative research and work with the state on some of the virus issues, avian flu, H1N1, or more important, what's next that we don't know about yet. The kinds of research, Murray covered some of the real most interesting areas of research that are being done. The Center for Alaska Native Health Research working in Southwest Alaska on issues of obesity and diabetes, and why there is not the same link between obesity and diabetes in Southwest Alaska we see elsewhere, probably related to diet, but we need to understand that mechanism and what it is that leads to that and potentially then lead to potential treatments for the effects of diabetes. Murray also covered some of the other areas that the work on sudden infant death syndrome, trying to understand the cellular mechanisms and what might be markers for SIDS that might allow us to understand early what children are at risk for sudden infant death syndrome or traumatic brain injury. We know that the hibernating brain is much more elastic and can handle trauma better. What's going on, again, at the cellular level that might make a difference? The instructional wing of the building really will help us to prepare students for some of the higher demand jobs. And while people don't think of a biomedical industry in Alaska, we really have some potential there. But we also have the needed people for biological and wildlife careers that help with permitting for major Alaska projects or to provide the staff for the Department of Fish and Game, National Park Service, Fish and Wildlife Service, Forest Service. These are high-wage, good jobs in Alaska. The research side, we are space-limited. We're going through our master plan right now for UAF, and the biggest space deficit we have, if we look at national standards on square feet per faculty member, per student, et cetera, is in the research area, is where we are shortest on space. That limits our ability to go out and attract new funds. And while it limits it, our biological research, IABs, federal receipts are up from an annual $6 million at the beginning of this decade to about $19 million a year now, so significant growth in bringing new dollars into Alaska. This building will provide additional lab space that will allow us to be successful in competing nationally for additional federal funds to support research in Alaska. We've got people available to testify that know the science far better than I do, but I'd be glad to take any questions that the members may have. I would note that this facility, because it is designed and ready, in talking with prospective bidders on this, we could actually be pouring concrete this summer and have a foundation in by fall if we have the appropriation this legislative session. So it has an immediate jobs impact. It's a long, it's a complex building. Lots of issues with the heating, ventilating, and air conditioning in order to separate research issues, and so it's a long construction period, 3.5 years to get the whole thing finished, but we're able to start almost immediately. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to answer any questions that members of the committee may have.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Are there questions? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it was in the summer, the Finance Committee came up to the Fairbanks, had a chance to see the site where you're proposing mm-hmm. the new building, and visited one of the labs in one of the old buildings, and it just was sort of shocking how crowded it is, lots of stuff stacked in those labs. And what will that do to the old building? Will that allow you to reconfigure that?
The old buildings will be reconfigured. The Bunnell will provide us additional classroom space on the main campus. You didn't see that, but in the Arctic Health Research Building, that will allow us to essentially backfill with some of the research labs that were originally slated to go into the larger BIOS building.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Senator Stevens. The Arctic Health building, what is the date of that building anyhow?
The Arctic Health was built, I believe, in 1962. It's undergone some significant renovation as federal labs moved out and they moved into the virology. We have used some repair and maintenance money to reconfigure some of the labs, but the majority of the building is still, you know, federal 62, 64, somewhere in that era.
Okay, very good. Any other questions? Hearing none, thank you for your testimony. Let's see, we have several people online, but we'll take a couple others that are in the room right now. First of all, we have Brian Barnes, the director of the Institute of Arctic Biology.
He's online.
Oh, he's online? Okay. I guess we'll start online then.
All right.
Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Talking to you from the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. My name is Brian Barnes. I've been a faculty member here at UAF since 1986 and have been directing the Institute of Arctic Biology since 2002. I'd like to just say that the proposed UA Life Science Building will greatly enhance teaching in biology, wildlife, biomedical, and health sciences at UAF. Biology and wildlife is our largest major, always has been. It's growing. We have over 600 majors this year. Our graduate programs in life sciences have the most PhD and master's students in the UA system, and more students are applying. Our programs in life science make UAF a target destination for students from both inside and outside the state. Yet we are limited to still teaching in classrooms that were built in the 1960s, as Chancellor Rogers says. And actually, to find classrooms and teaching laboratories big enough for our sections, we have to schedule biology students all over campus, classrooms that are a mile apart. And this is an inefficiency that will be decreased with building life sciences. We have excellent teachers, a modern curriculum with more and more offerings in molecular biology, biomedical sciences, wildlife biology, management. We have excellent students that graduate and fill good jobs across Alaska in hospitals, health clinics, consulting firms, state and federal agencies, as the Chancellor said. We just need the excellent facilities they deserve to keep going. The Life Science Building is also necessary to support continued growth and competitiveness of our research programs in the life sciences, including those in health, biomedical research, climate change, wildlife, social ecological linkages. This is, you know, the role of people in environmental change. The number of grants and federal dollars coming into the state and the number of jobs created has grown rapidly, tripled over the last 8 years, but without additional modern space to do the research, this growth will slow. It'll stop. There's a huge need for knowledge, discovery, and intervention in these topics, and a huge opportunity to do in-state research on special problems in Alaska, such as health disparity research, that is, research into diseases that occur more frequently in ethnic and economic and cultural and even geographical groups than average rates. At UAF, we have the Center for Alaska Native Health Research, Tanner, and I'd like to, in a moment, I'll introduce Dr. Bert Boyer, who's the associate director for this program, to discuss this. We also have a big program in infectious diseases and contaminants that's collaborative with UAA. Lots of our programs in life sciences involve faculty and students in both campuses, grants that are shared between PIs. And I'd like to, after Bert talks, we also have a graduate student, Court Bundinch, to speak to his work and his experiences here. But I'll just end by saying, as director of IB, my job is to recruit faculty who are excellent teachers and the most competitive researchers and provide them an environment where they can succeed. And in addition, and this can be the hardest thing, once they succeed, keep them here. So that UAF, UA can get the most benefit from that. These faculty are operating on a national market. They can often go anywhere, get competitive offers. And my job will be made much easier with this new life science building. So thank you.
This is Bert Boyer. I'm sitting here next to Brian. Thank you for allowing me to testify as well.
Mr. Barnes, if we could just thank you for your testimony as well, see if anyone at the table has any questions for Mr. Barnes. Seeing none, Mr. Bundage, is that who's speaking now?
Boyer.
No, Dr. Boyer.
Oh, Dr. Boyer. Okay, we've got two lists here. So anyhow, if you put yourself on the record and please make your testimony as brief as you could, as we're a little squeezed for time this morning.
I'll do so. Thank you very much. So I'm acting director of the Center for Alaska Native Health Research. This is a program addressing health disparities in the YK Delta with over 1,500 Yupik Eskimos. We're looking at obesity and the comorbidities of obesity, which include diabetes, stroke, and cancer. One note of interest, the obesity prevalence among Yupik Eskimos is about equal to the U.S. average, but the diabetes prevalence is less than half. We're trying to find out what the genetic, dietary, or environmental factors are that contribute to this protection from type 2 diabetes. We're also beginning studies in stroke, which has three times the prevalence of the U.S., and finally colorectal cancer, which is twice the prevalence in the U.S. We look at various factors from physical activity to genetics to diet, things like that. The benefit of a life science building to us is we are space limited. We have opportunities for growth, hiring new faculty, bringing in new research associates and postdocs, and we don't have a place to put them. Building the life sciences facility will create opportunities for other faculty to move into that new building and open up much-needed space in the Arctic Health Research Building, which is where we're located. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, we thank you for your presentation. And next, who do we have here now, since we're a little out of sync on the list I'm looking at?
Yeah, now my name is Cord Brundage.
There we
I'm
go.
A graduate student here at UAF.
Okay, if you'd put yourself on the record and what you just basically did and make your presentation, please.
Okay. Thank you. I'm a PhD candidate here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Many aspiring graduate students travel to Alaska for the phenomenal wilderness life science research opportunities. I, on the other hand, was drawn to UAF for the biomedical life sciences program. I studied the consequences of nicotine and alcohol exposure on the developing brain. Exposure to either nicotine or alcohol during pregnancy has been linked to sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS. My research is part of a collaboration including two University of Alaska Fairbanks laboratories focused on the cause of SIDS and the high prevalence of SIDS in Alaska. Research in our lab is highly sought after by students interested in careers in either biomedical research or medicine. Just myself, in the 4 years I've been a graduate student, I've mentored 8 undergraduate students and 4 high school research projects. Both of these students have wanted to be doctors, pharmacists, dentists, or like myself, were interested in a veterinary medical career. My career aspirations to go into veterinary research was an ambitious goal. The limited number of vet schools has made veterinary medicine the most competitive professional program to get into. Fortunately, I was accepted this past December and will complete my PhD this spring and start school in the fall at one of the top veterinary programs in the world. My education and the experience I had while at UAF is what made me competitive. The caliber of the research and education here at UAS is excellent. Fortunately, or unfortunately rather, the facilities and space constrictions make conducting that research at times very difficult. We have to make optimal use of every nook and cranny. Our SIDS research is spread out over multiple floors and 3 different buildings. Biology faculty, facilities, and equipment lack any central location. The UAF Biology Department has the largest graduate program and number of graduate students in the state, and it is frustrating that our personnel and resources are so centralized. Amazing discoveries are being made every day. Innovation and research are developing at an incredible rate. In order to remain competitive in this rapidly changing technological world, we need to provide facilities for tomorrow's students today. I'm extremely grateful for the wonderful education I've had here at UAF. It's helped me make my dreams come true. I would never have been accepted to so prestigious a veterinary program if it hadn't been for the skill and training I received here at UAS. In order to continue to make Alaskan students like me competitive for professional careers and make them achieve their dreams, I would strongly advocate for the funding of the University of Alaska Life Sciences and Laboratory Facility. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Senator Olson.
Mr. Barnage, congratulations on your acceptance into veterinary school. I was wondering what school are you going to?
Colorado State.
Colorado State, and where are you from originally?
Grew up in Boulder.
And where are you planning, after your 5 years out from veterinary school, where do you plan on practicing?
Oh, Fairbanks, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll go to the committee room here today. We have Wayne Stevens, I believe. If you please come forward, Wayne, with the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, and put yourself on the record and make your presentation. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Wayne Stevens, President and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. The Alaska State Chamber of Commerce endorses the University of Alaska Board of Regents FY11 capital funding request for the Life Sciences Classroom and Lab Facility. This will be the only new construction project on the Board of Regents request. The Alaska State Chamber of Commerce recognizes the importance of research, as well as the economic impact and educational opportunities this life science project will bring to all Alaskans, and urges the Alaska Legislature to fully support funding of this vital facility. And I'll conclude right there in the interest of your time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your presentation. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. We also have, I believe, online, Gail Phillips, President of the UAF Alumni Association. Are you with us? No? I guess not. Okay. That concludes the testimony, unless Catherine Duke is listed as someone that wants to, I'm not sure if they wanted to testify or not, and on which bill, I was not sure.
No, I just was available to answer questions. Thank you.
In regards to which bill?
Both of these bills that you're hearing this morning.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else regarding SB 56 at this point in time? Anybody else online to testify? Or anybody in the room? Senator Meyer has arrived. If there is nothing else regarding Senate Bill 56, we'll close public testimony, or close at least the hearing on Senate Bill 56, and proceed to Senate Bill 206, an act making special appropriations for new engineering buildings for the University of Alaska. And we're pretty much on time. So,
Chairman, excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
Are we just going to just leave this in our committee, not move it out, or what?
That was our intention.
That was your intention?
That's right. For today, anyhow. Take testimony on. I'll take up SB 206, an act making special appropriations for new engineering buildings for the University of Alaska in Anchorage and Fairbanks. The bill is sponsored by Senator Ellis. I believe the senator is here, in fact. If you please come forward, and staff, if you would like, we'll provide a chair and make your...
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Co-chairs and to members of the committee. For the record, my name is Johnny Ellis. I represent Downtown and Midtown Anchorage in the Alaska State Senate. Appreciate you having the bill before you today. I've worked with my constituent Grant Baker, chair of the mechanical and electrical engineering programs at UAA, to understand the shortage of engineers in Alaska, to appreciate that fact. It's a very negative thing for our state. Also trying to understand the scale of industry demand for Alaska-grown engineers and the important resources required by our UA engineering programs to meet this demand. And I particularly appreciate Senator Davis wearing our button there that we're using to promote this, the university's job training programs and career training programs of Grow Our Own. That seems to be something that's catching on in the Alaska legislature, and I appreciate it very much. I want to take a moment to share with you what I've learned about the shortage of engineers in Alaska, and how the UA engineering programs are working to increase the supply of Alaska engineers. And this is a partnership between the Anchorage and Fairbanks campuses. Alaska has a critical shortage of engineers. Many of you have heard the stories of Alaska construction and development projects being staffed by out-of-state workers. What has received less attention is that Alaska is facing a severe shortage of engineers at this time. Some companies are resorting to sending Alaska's engineering design work outside. Very troubling trend. Outside engineering firms don't always have the technical knowledge or foundation in Arctic or Northern engineering, so critical to the work done, or we're hoping to have done, in Alaska. Alaska is second to last in the number of engineering graduates it produces per year, per capita. Only 18% of our engineers in Alaska have degrees from the University of Alaska system, and up to 35% of the engineers working in Alaska are not residents. According to the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the shortage of engineers is expected to grow, exacerbated by annual turnover and retirements. Many new outside engineering recruits to Alaska will move here just long enough to gain valuable professional experience before eventually moving away to be closer to their homes and families in the lower 48. Alaska industry and recruiters prefer to hire Alaska graduates as they are more likely to stay in Alaska over time. And Mr. Chairman, the amount of hassle and expense of recruiting folks outside or internationally to come here to help us with our development projects is something we should take note of and try to reverse. To respond to the state's need, in 2006, President Hamilton and the Alaska Board of Regents set a priority to double the number of annual engineering graduates by 2014. So we need to take the steps necessary to achieve that worthy goal. That's what the bill's all about. UA engineering programs have risen to the occasion, or are attempting to. Since 2006, the number of students in UAF's engineering program has doubled, and since 2000, enrollment in UAA's School of Engineering has more than tripled. So there's a demand in both locations. UA's engineering programs are ready, willing, and able to train the next generation of Alaska engineers, but require investment to complete their mission. Current facilities cannot accommodate the enrollment goal or even current enrollments. Enrollment growth has resulted in significant space challenges leading to overflowing classrooms and crowded labs. And I know everyone at this table has seen that on both campuses. Our engineering programs must have adequate instructional and specialized lab space to double engineering graduates. And University of Alaska has completed concept planning for new facilities at both UAA and UAF. These appropriations included in this bill are intended to facilitate design and construction of the facilities just to meet current engineering demand and to provide the foundation and resources to grow our own Alaska engineers. So, Mr. Chairman, in conclusion, engineers are an essential economic resource, and growing our own Alaskan engineers offers us an opportunity to invest in Alaska's development. Our UA engineering programs are doing what they need to do but need our assistance. So let's provide them with the resources they need to keep Alaska's industry supplied with talented engineering graduates, because our state's future largely depends upon it. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. My staff person in charge of this bill, Matt Moser, is with me, and I know there's some constituents and folks here who are hoping to speak to you as well.
Okay, great. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions of Senator Ellis? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony, or his staff. Okay, thank you
and
very much.
We'll stick around. We're available after the other folks if necessary.
Okay. There are some people that we do have online and some in the room. First, we would have Jack Wilbur. Jack, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Senator Thomas.
Please put yourself on the record and make your presentation.
Thank you. I am Jack Wilbur, a president of Design Alaska, a professional services firm that employs 65 architects, engineers, and surveyors in Fairbanks. Our preferred source of entry-level engineers is the University of Alaska Fairbanks. We prefer their graduates because they graduate with the skills we need and they have already adjusted to our climate and our community. They are more likely to stay with us once they start with us. In the last 25 years, Design Alaska has grown as our community has grown, indeed tripled in size, and we and others in our industry need an ever-increasing pool of entry-level engineers to accommodate that growth. We support continued investment in the UAF engineering program in order to assure that UAF will continue to meet our needs. Another important benefit of investment in UAF's engineering program through expansion of their facilities is the increase in research grant dollars that will be attracted to our community. This is true economic development, resulting in high-paying jobs for Alaska residents. I urge you to support funding and expansion of UAF's engineering training and research facilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack, for your testimony. Any questions? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Wilbur. Thank you for your comments, and I appreciate the fact that you prefer to hire Alaskans who are adjusted to Alaska and have those skills. Do you also bring in students before they graduate to have the experience of understanding what it's like in real life?
Yes, we do. We traditionally have 4 to 5 what we refer to as engineering interns working for us, and they are almost always from the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Wilbur.
Thank you, Chair Stevens. Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wilbur, I was just looking at the types of your business up there has been in there around for a long time. I was wondering what kind of engineers were you employing there and how?
We employ the full range of engineers. We have civil, structural, mechanical, electrical, and environmental engineers working for us. And the University of Alaska Fairbanks is able to provide us with entry-level engineers for all of those disciplines.
Thank you, Mr. Wilbur.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any other questions? Hearing none, thank you, Jack, for your testimony.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. We have online Ms. Ann Brooks of Brooks & Associates. Are you with us this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ann Brooks. I'm a 35-year Alaska resident. I graduated from UAA in the civil engineering program in 1988, and I currently serve on the UAA School of Engineering Advisory Board. And I'm calling in today to urge support for both the, both the bills that are in front of you. Life sciences is part of engineering education, and so I can't not say a few words for Senate Bill 56 as well. I think the Jack brought up some real important points, but one of the things that I wanted to hammer home is the cost of recruiting and bringing in engineers from out of state. My colleagues at the Corps of Engineers, who employ about 700 engineers in Alaska, tell me that it costs them about $70,000 per engineer to recruit, move to Alaska. Typically, they get a three-year commitment out of these engineers, but because they may not be familiar with the kind of climate that they're encountering, they often don't stick around. So it's a real cost to all of us when that happens. I believe the facilities that the U of A School of Engineering is using today are the same facilities that I went into classes in and before I graduated in 1988, with the exception of the ANSET building. The laboratories are the same, and I can't urge you strongly enough to consider these facilities. Our students deserve it. We have industry that needs these individuals. Everything that we do every day is touched by engineering. We brush our teeth in clean water. We drive we drive safe streets. We work in safe buildings, and that's all driven by engineering. As our infrastructure ages, as our workforce in Department of Environmental Conservation or DNR or DOT retires, we need engineers to replace that. And frankly, I don't think we can afford to do the kind of recruitment and bring engineers to Alaska from the lower 48 to fill those positions. They just don't stick around. We know that if we grow our own engineers, we'll have a committed, consistent, and stable workforce. And, given some of the challenges facing the state as our infrastructure ages, the desire to get the gas pipeline going, we really need to make this investment and invest in it now. I just don't think we can wait more years for these facilities to produce quality engineers for Alaska. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to entertain them.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks, for your testimony. Are there any questions? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you. And you hit on an interesting point. As I think of the engineers I know, most of them are about my age. And so the issue of an aging workforce, is that something you believe is going to really bite us if we don't move ahead?
I had some conversations with Commissioner Von Schaven from the Department of Transportation. And I believe he told me last year that a third of his workforce is at retirement age. And I think we're seeing a trend where some of those folks will stick around because of the economy, because maybe they can't afford to retire right now. But when they start going, we will be in a world of hurt, and we will be spending a heck of a lot of money trying to recruit people to fill those needed positions.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks.
Thank you for your testimony. Any other questions? Thanks again. Next we have, I believe, in the room, Dr. Grant Baker is with us. chair of the Mechanical and Electrical Engineering Program or Department. I'll let you put yourself on the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. My name is Grant. Excuse me. My name is Grant Baker, and I'm the chair of the Mechanical, Electrical, and Computer Engineering Programs at the University in Anchorage. I've lived in Alaska for about 30 years, and I've taught for about 22 of those years. And I'm here to support Senate Bill 206. I want to thank Johnny Ellis for introducing that bill. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about our support from our students and also from industry. And in a, I suppose in a, if there was a theme to go with this, it's exactly what's on our buttons. It's grow our own. It works. In a nutshell, a new building in Anchorage would be a great project. And it would be applauded by industry and the community. And two of the main reasons why it would be a really good project is, one, there's a lack of facilities in Anchorage, a severe lack. We have about one-third of the space per student and what the national average is as far as space per student for engineering programs. And it's not just about crowded rooms or crowded classrooms. It's about labs that are completely missing, laboratories that are standard or fundamental to most engineering programs, such as heat transfer labs or electrical engineering labs, material science labs. They don't exist. They're gone. We're making do with what we have, but they're gone. And so there is a severe shortage. We have 1,000 students, and it's going to, we have about 1,000 students, and it's going to increase with the demand for engineers and also for the other programs that are happening. And that's one of the reasons why the students support this. And I have several documents that I can provide you. I just brought one copy here today to kind of show you, but over 300 engineering students signed this one petition. This was back in March, about 2 or 3 weeks. In about 2 or 3 weeks, they had 300 students that signed a petition just asking legislature to support the engineering at Anchorage and also for a new building. There's a, and many of you might remember, about 14 students came down last spring, came to visit just to try to get the word out about the need for a new engineering building. Now, why does industry support us? Well, it's been talked about today already, and that is hiring your own engineers or engineers that graduate from the University of Alaska are preferred because they stay in Alaska and there reduces the turnover. There's also about 100 companies that hire engineers within 4 miles of the Anchorage campus. This is a unique situation, not just in Alaska, but in the entire United States. There's very few cities that have that situation. And why that's important is because our students can intern with the companies all year round, and they do. They get the experience with the companies, they build a relationship with the companies, and they like that because they get to look at the students and work with the students before they hire them permanently, which means the students match up with the companies that they like, and the companies get the employees that they want. And so that helps with the turnover too. And the support of industry, the strong support of industry, is one of the reasons why our advisory board, made up of CEOs and presidents of engineering firms and companies that hire engineers, wrote a resolution back in, well, it's August of 2008, signed by every one of them, supporting a new engineering building in Anchorage. And I think recently, and I'm not sure if it's in your packet or not, but the president of our advisory board, Richard Reich, submitted a letter of support for Senate Bill 206. And so it's strongly supported by the industry. The community also supports new facilities. Recently there was a memorandum of understanding that was written that was an agreement between the state of Alaska through the Department of Education, Department of Labor signed the agreement. All three chancellors from all three campuses signed the agreement, and also APIC, you know, Alaska Process Industry Career Consortium, they also signed it. And they're there to represent all of industry. So the idea was to have an agreement between industry, the university, and also the state of Alaska that supported establishing engineering academies inside of the K-12 schools. And the reason why this is so popular is because it works for not just for increasing more engineers, but it attracts students into the STEM areas. You know, it attracts them into science and technology, engineering and mathematics. And so one of my sayings in this is, you know, the pathway to engineering is built upon science, technology, and mathematics. So they may not eventually get to engineering, but they'll have on the pathway there, they'll get introduced to the science and technology and all these other things that will help improve student performance in those areas. And we're serving the Anchorage area, which is about 50,000 students, 16,000 in Mat-Su and 9,000 in Kenai. There was a Diamond was kind of like a prototype high school to start an engineering academy. Last year, they had about 115 students, and now it's a 220 this year. And they expect 300 or more next year. And the reason why it's such a rapid growth is simply what they tell me, the students tell me from Diamond, is they just tell their friends from last year, the students that were in it tell their friends that it's a great thing and great experience for them. And so that's word of mouth is getting to increase. We're also working on, we also have a memorandum of understanding with between the School of Engineering and the College of Education in Anchorage. And the idea here is that the same facilities that are used for teaching and outreach to K-12, they're the same facilities that are needed for teaching university classes too, prototype labs and all the labs that I mentioned earlier. And also, there are this labs that can also be used for teaching teachers in order to, for teacher preparation or teacher professional development courses in STEM areas. And so we see a really strong and beneficial collaboration between School of Engineering and the College of Education to help provide the education or the preparation that the teachers need. We've heard from the Bush Company, I'm sorry. Can we go backwards and erase things?
No. No, we can't do that. You're on record.
In Bethel. I don't know why.
The engineering students hang out there, I understand, yeah.
We've heard from Bethel, from the Bush. They have said that, they can have teachers come out there for like for one day and they do a demonstration and leave. Well, that doesn't really help. I mean, it's nice they visit, but it doesn't really make a lasting impression. What they need are teachers to come out, teachers that stay there. And so what this would provide is a way of teaching the teachers in the STEM areas that would go, they come in from the Bush, they get trained, they get their preparation, development, they get interested, and then they go back and they stay in the communities. And that will help with the hands-on type preparation that they need out there 24 hours a day, but every day. And so, in summation, all of these reasons are why a new facility in Anchorage would be so strongly supported and widely supported, and why it would be so beneficial. Anyway, I thank you, and I can provide documents of all these things to you, and I'm be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Well, thank you for your testimony. Are there questions? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I borrow this? Now I know why you're so successful recruiting male engineers. You know. Let's see. First of all, I want to add, I know you talked about the students from the Bush, and maybe you've already spoke about this. I apologize for being late today. But you've had great success with the Alaska Native students. I think you started out with just a couple, and now there's over 100 graduates, if I recall. And so if you haven't already spoken about that, if you could elaborate a little bit more on that. And then also, is the demand such now that you're having to turn students away?
It's an open enrollment campus, and so there's no good way of putting in place some kind of a restriction, and we really wouldn't want to. We want to give the students an opportunity to give their shot at becoming an engineer, and so it is open to them right now to be accepted into the School of Engineering. And we're not turning students away, but what's happening is it just makes things more overcrowded. And as I said before, another huge concern is just the complete lack or missing labs that are there that are fundamental to most other engineering programs. And it's not about what one program has and another program somewhere else has. It's about what industry needs. They want engineers trained in these areas, and it's very difficult to train them if we don't have the laboratories in order to do it. And we like to have our students hit the ground running when they sign on permanently for a company. The internship program helps a lot in that, in getting them trained, but you need the facilities to give them the proper training in order for them to hit the ground running and be beneficial to the industry.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman?
Certainly, go ahead.
If you can talk a little bit about the Alaska Native Engineering Program, as well as, there's some interesting numbers here. I think that Senator Ellis provided on the amount of space per student, you know, square footage. It's obvious that you're very crowded at both campuses compared to other colleges outside. Between the Anchorage campus and the Fairbanks campus, do we have all disciplines covered? You know, there's so many different types of engineering: petroleum, civil, mechanical, electrical. I don't know what else.
Well, there's always a few that are not quite covered. Chemical and biomedical engineering are a couple that are not covered. But, you know, in Anchorage, we have all the major ones that are needed in Alaska, which is the civil, mechanical, electrical. We also have computer engineering. We also have geomatics, which is surveying, which is another large field that's is in short demand, or in short supply, strong demand. And that's within the School of Engineering, too.
Petroleum engineering?
I'll let Fairbanks talk about that, but we don't have it in Anchorage, but it is in Fairbanks.
Okay. So between the two campuses, we have most disciplines covered. Okay.
And as far as the ANSEP program and the outreach programs, the ANSEP has been, you know, wildly successful in really getting out into the areas that were very difficult to get to in the past. In other words, there was not really a mechanism in place that went out to the rural communities and got them interested in engineering and did what was necessary in order to have them, be exposed to some of the courses that are needed for engineering. And so it's been wildly successful in that outreach into the, with the communities of Anchorage and the surrounding communities. That's done by the School of Engineering as a whole. And so that's what this facility would serve, not just the urban areas and the communities, but it would also serve the rural areas because of the training of the teachers that are going out and also for the students that do come in for summer camps and other things, they would be exposed to these facilities.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, one more. Sure. If this isn't an appropriate question, then you can punt, and we'll ask somebody else. But we are dealing with the governor's performance scholarship program, and one of the requirements he has is 4 years of math. Now, some people have been saying that's too much, if you want to be like a communications major or, political science major, whatever. I do believe if you want to be an engineering major, that's probably appropriate. And I would like you to maybe tell this committee, are you finding that the students that you are getting from the Alaska high schools, are they prepared? Are they ready to take engineering-type courses? Or are you finding you have to do remedial math or maybe some other subjects?
We're finding that many are prepared, but there is a large sector, or a large number of students that still need some remedial math or some math prior to the courses that are required for the degree. The first level of mathematics that's counted toward the degree is calculus, and the requirements before that are college algebra and trigonometry. And I mean, many of the rural schools may not have those courses even in them. In the Anchorage area, in Kenai and Matsu too, we find that many of the students don't quite get to the trigonometry. But with the engineering academies being in place, this is my guess about the governor's performance scholarship is going to enhance all those students to try to get into more math, and they'll be more prepared by the time they reach the university. We're finding it already with engineering academies. The students are, because they're focused on a project, you know, and that's the thing, they can visualize, it's tangible, they can make something, and then we go, I want to do that. What do I have to take so I can do that? Oh, I have to take some math? Fine. I'll do whatever's needed so I can do that because that's fun. And it's working.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Huggins.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Baker, do you have any idea how many of your students are from the scholars program from the high schools, the top 10%?
I can give you not off the top of my head, but I can give you, we have about 1,000 students. I know that as far as new scholars coming in this year, it's kind of a rough, but it's about 60, somewhere around there, about 60 scholars.
Yeah, good. That's significant.
We expect many more because we really haven't had the opportunity to do recruitment. We've just been inundated with all the students, and we haven't had a, really an opportunity to go out there to recruit.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that and when we get to that point, which is very soon here, we're going to have many more of the scholars.
Yeah. Well, that's a good problem to have. when you look at the industry demands versus your capability to develop and graduate engineers, what's the delta in Alaska?
I can only give you the what the industry tells me, and that is, you know, everyone has a different set of numbers, but the entire university system is graduating about 94 a year right now. But, you know, there's a need between 200 to 400 new ones a year, new engineers a year. We've had stories of companies, well, not stories, it's, you know, this is what they're telling us, is that they'll set up hiring shops in Michigan because they can't find them here. So they'll be hiring, they'll have actual shops there for hiring more engineers. They've talked about, and I don't know if they've done this to any extent or not, but basically setting up camps. We're hiring engineers out of Russia because they can't find enough here. It's gone to that length for so long that they have to do something in order to stay in business, and so they're going out of state, and they have been for quite a while.
Yeah. And finally, Mr. Chairman, we're presently working on some legislation that gives tax credits to donors and contributors to educational institutions and other sorts of bodies. My question for you, do you think in the case that you're advocating for here that there are a significant number of donors that are out there prepared to support you? I mean, we're donors in some respects, representing the state, but on the other hand, in the private industry, based on the demand and the shortfall.
We have strong industry support, and there would be many, many donors, but there's not enough donations to the magnitude as far as actually getting a building based on donations. It just isn't nearly enough. I mean, we you know, if we had, well, what I've noticed is this. If industry knew that there was a building to be built, they're more willing to give to make it a better building or to supply it with facilities. They're unwilling to just hand over money in hopes that maybe a building will be built someday.
Yeah.
That's what we've noticed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Baker.
Thank you.
Any other questions? And thank you, Dr. Baker, for your testimony. And we have a few minutes left, so we have a few people to testify. Next is Dr. Dan White. Please come forward and put yourself on record. You certainly can. Yeah, you can leave it with either. There you go, right there.
Morning. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Dan White. I'm the director of the Institute of Northern Engineering at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I speak on my own behalf as well as that of the Dean of the College of Engineering and Mines, Dr. Doug Gehring. The University of Alaska has been graduating engineers since 1926. Engineers are instrumental to the development of the state's resources, creating jobs, and increasing Alaska's quality of life. UAF is one of the only universities in the country that offers mining and geological engineering as well as petroleum engineering areas that are key to the development of our state. In 2004, the three engineering units at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which is constituted the divisions of engineering that were in the College of Science, Engineering, and Math, the Institute of Northern Engineering, and the School of Mineral Engineering were all combined in a single merger. These three programs were consolidated from four buildings into one building, the Duckering Building. The Duckering Building was built in 1964 and was already the home of roughly half of the engineering on campus and was already at capacity at the time. So it has been quite a consolidation effort. Since the merger in 2004 of these programs across campus, applied research and technology development has grown 300%. Applied research and development in engineering has a direct impact on Alaska's economy. We've developed more efficient ways of extracting gold from ore, building roads, building buildings, particularly in the Arctic, running vehicles, finding and developing energy resources, just to name a few. Applied engineering research and technology development is growing Alaska's economy. A recent McDowell Group report study showed that for every $1 million invested by the state of Alaska in the university research, 149 jobs were created with an estimated $4.8 million in payroll and another $1.5 to $2 million in purchases. We need space to do the research, to grow the opportunity, and to contribute to building Alaska's economy. Since 2006, College of Engineering and Mines student enrollments have increased 40%. First-time freshman enrollments are increased by almost twice that. And we're on track to meet the President's commitment to double the number of engineering graduates by 2012. In a recent comparison with our peers, our peer institutions, UAF operates on 80 square feet per student. This is lower than nearly all of our peers. The University of Utah system, for example, and University of Idaho are both at about 100 square feet per student, and many others are higher. The Oregon system, for example, operates at 170 square feet per engineering student, and that's more than twice what it is at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. There's presently only one classroom in the engineering building that can accommodate more than 40 students, and that's creating a problem as our classes grow. There is at this point a severe lack of space for engineering education and applied research at UAF. We strongly support the Board of Regents budget request and the priorities laid out therein, and we hope that that budget, as well as the efforts such as SB 206, can contribute to the specialized engineering needs for engineering programs at UAF and UAA. We are partners in training Alaska's workforce. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. We just have a few more minutes left, so we have two more folks to testify. If they could be as direct as possible, that would be great. We have Rob Lang, the Dean of the UAA Engineering, recent Vice President of Alaska Professional Design Council. If you would please come forward, put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, members of the committee. Rob Lang, Dean of Engineering at UAA. And I think pretty much everything has been said. Maybe the only two items I'll add to that are, if you were to look at the UAA engineering facilities and compare it with engineering facilities at other universities around the country or even around the world, we're really in very bad shape. I mean that sincerely, having been at facilities in third world countries that are significantly better than the ones we have. Nevertheless, I'm extremely proud of what our faculty and students are able to do. Our programs are all accredited, which is, you know, absolutely marvelous. Our students and faculty make do with what we have. Our students, in terms of nationally normed exams, there's a fundamentals of engineering exam, and consistently they perform above the national average. And so even with the lack of facilities, our students perform at really, really high levels. And so, you know, again, I'm happy to answer any questions. I know you're short on time.
Thank you for your testimony. Any specific questions? Hearing none, thank you. And next, Chancellor Fran Ulmer. You had your chance.
I think you said there were two of us.
Two remaining, that's right, Fran and Dr. Lyon.
I signed up for this one as well.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll keep it brief because so many people have testified, but okay. I just want to say I think both Chancellor Rogers and I agree that we are desperate for space for engineering.
Okay.
We're a natural resources state, and if we really want to develop our oil and gas and mining and all of the other resources that we have, we need homegrown engineers. It's an essential building block for our economy and for our future. So I beseech you to, if not this bill, some other way to help us move forward. The number of square feet that our UAA students have had for engineering, 44 square foot per student, got expanded to a whopping 58 square feet per student when we added temporary facilities. We have trailers on campus, and we had to go out and get a little warehouse so that we could have some lab space. These are the kinds of things we are doing to try to accommodate the needs that we have, to try to make certain that our students are getting a good education. But we need your help to take this to the level that our state deserves. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you. Any questions? If none, Chancellor Rogers, my mistake. I'm sorry.
Thank you. For the record, again, Brian Rogers, Chancellor, University of Alaska Fairbanks. I think you've heard most of it, but I do want to answer a couple questions that were asked, one on UA scholars in engineering, fall 08, which is the latest numbers we had with us, 103 at UAA, 125 at UAF. That represents about one-fifth of the UAF UA scholars, about one-tenth of the UAA UA scholars. On the GPS, national statistics show that one-sixth of U.S. high school students graduate with enough math to even consider engineering as a discipline. Anything we can do that helps helps that pathway will make a difference for our ability to meet our goals in engineering. We are competitive nationally. BP says they're number one school in the nation for hiring engineers is the University of Alaska, the two schools together. Our students regularly win significant competitions, the bridge competition, or last year the electric snow machine endurance competition. I was just at UC Berkeley on Monday. They recognize the value of our graduates who go there for graduate school. We have excellence in both programs and need your help to ensure we can keep providing that excellence.
Thank you for your testimony. Any other questions? Hearing none, thank you. I will close public testimony. And although I thought we might have some other need for another meeting, it appears that we've had probably as much testimony as I need anyhow. So if there is the will of the body, if we have any other comments, questions, if not, I would be willing to take motions on both bills. Okay. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'd like to move that we move from committee Senate Bill 56 with the attached individual recommendations and, I don't know, is there a fiscal note?
There is.
Yeah, there is a fiscal note.
Yeah, there is. Just a small one for finance to deal with.
yeah, exactly. There it is, sir.
Okay, thank you. Is there objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 56 has passed from the Education Committee. And regarding the other bill, Senate Bill 206.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we move from committee Senate Bill 206 with attached individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? Seeing none, thank you. It's passed. That may move forward to the Finance Committee.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. If there's no other business to come before the committee today, we shall adjourn. Is there anything else? Hearing none. We are also going to Friday's agenda is Senate Bill 236,
tax credit bill.
We're adjourned.